This is Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 a.m.
Carl, good morning.
Good morning, Rodney. How are you?
Well, I can hear birds singing in the background.
Well, you've got better hearing than me.
Oh, maybe it's it could be electrical interference.
Oh, no, I'm out where there's some birds.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I'm speaking with Carl Barkley. Now, this is exciting, is it not, about Marsden Point with the public ownership. Tell me what's happened there.
Yeah, well, last... I'm getting an echo with this. I'll go off speaker. About... still echoing. Not sure what's going on there.
You've got no echo this end. You're fine this end if you can manage it.
Just ignore it. We had the shareholding around 48% for quite a while, and then at Christmas time it got to 53%, and then it dropped back down around 48-49%, and that was last week. And then on Monday I got an email from Simply Wall Street, a site I follow, and they give me an update quite regularly on what's happening around the world, and particularly CHI on the NZX, which is Channel Infrastructure. And when you look on that site and then scroll across to where it says ownership and then scroll down to the bottom of that, it gives us a list of the percentages. And guess what? Our percentage is at 58%.
And when you say our percentages, who's the our and who's the them?
The ours is the general public.
Yeah, and who's the them?
The corporates.
Wow. And who are the big corporates that got a stake in it?
Well, there was a few of the oil companies, but they've pulled out. ACC's still got shares in it.
Yeah.
Z Energy, which used to be the government's, is now owned by Ampol. They've got shares in it, along with Ampol. And there's other institutions.
And this majority shareholder that is the US, is that mum and pop investors, you think?
I would like to think so. There are some people out there that have got over a million shares.
Wow.
And they appear to be general public.
And what's the share price at the moment?
Oh, I should have known that, shouldn't I?
Oh, no, rough enough.
It's around the $1.80 market.
Wow.
It was up to $1.92 a week or so ago.
Wow. So someone with a million shares, they've got a big investment.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And what's your hope? They've got shares in Marsden Refinery, which at the moment is mothballed, right?
No, it's not.
Ah, tell me.
I wish it was. No, it's not mothballed.
Tell me,
They've damaged it, but we're not sure how much damage has been done.
How do you mean they've damaged it?
Well, heat exchangers have been pulled apart, and the pipe system, the bundle, has been taken out, and the big cast iron end covers have disappeared. We've seen photographs of the control rooms and switchgear damaged and cables cut. Without me going on site, I'm just believing what I see for the media.
And so they're stripping it for money and selling bits off, or are they just buggering it because they can't be bothered?
I think they're buggering it to make it difficult for us to reinstate it. It's definitely not mothballed. If it was mothballed, we'd turn around and open it up, clean it, and get it operating again. That's not going to happen in the scenario we've got at the moment. From what I can see is... When they damaged it and cut cables, I was told by somebody, they said, that's crazy because the damage they've done to those cables, now they can't pull them out and sell it as a complete loom. It was worth more as a loom. Now it's just scrap value. No, I've lost you.
No, you've got me. I was gobsmacked and I had my jaw was on the ground. So... Yeah. Obviously, there must be a management structure running it, and they've been accountable to these corporates who had the large shareholding and possibly didn't care and possibly even favoured it being damaged. So you're saying
the government. It was the government prior to it being closed down. The government owned Z Energy, which was Shell Oil. And I've just got the document here, which has been released under official information from Waka Tahahi, or NZTA, as I call them. And it's an April 2021 document talking about the bitumen supply. Well, they shut down the bitumen plant because they deemed it was costing too much to run it. Andrew Brewer, the CEO at the time, said, it's costing us too much to run it. So they told the board, or told the shareholders through the board, that it was uneconomical, we've got to shut it down, just like they've done to our sawmills they're trying to shut down, and timber industry they're trying to shut down. They could have, at that stage, doubled their price and still been a third cheaper than the cost now. So Z Energy, which was under the government at this time, took over the importation of the bitumen instead of supplying for New Zealand. Now, I'll read some of the figures. Where's page one? So in 1960, they started the bitumen plant, and that was set up by Shell and BP, run on site at Marsden Point. Today, which is April 2021, this document says, Z Energy supplies 84% of New Zealand's bitumen use and largely controls the price. So they controlled the price. So they were importing it and controlling it. So Z Energy does 70% locally. So they were using our bitumen up till then and importing 30%. And then there was a couple of other importers that were importing as well. So Marsden Point, New Zealand Refining Company, under the Z Energy, because Z Energy had taken over from Shell, was producing 120,000 tonne of bitumen. They controlled the price. So if they deemed there wasn't enough money in running the plant, the board could have talked to Z Energy, which is part of the government, and says, hey, we need to up the price a bit. What do you think we can handle here? And negotiated their way through to being more economical with the manufacturing. Since then, Shell Oil and Mobil and BP are no longer shareholders in the refinery. The government could have picked up more of those shares through ACC. ACC's got $64 billion of our money invested all around the world. How much would it cost to take over the ownership of the thing again? We, the taxpayers, pay for it every time there's been an upgrade, and now we're paying for an excessive price for poor quality bitumen and fuel that's not up to standard. We need some people in there that actually want to run an oil refinery, and that's what I'm aiming with this shareholding, getting it higher. My aim is 65%, and then I'll call a special meeting and roll the board, get rid of them, get rid of the senior management, put people in there that actually want to run an oil refinery, and then get back to talking to the government about making it happen. This government's not going to make it happen.
How great is that you could do that? That is a fact.
Well, it's a publicly listed company, and that can happen.
And you think, what you're saying is it could run economically.
Well, it must be costing us a fortune to import fuel from overseas now. Yeah. And when it's contaminated, they've got to take it offshore again to reprocess it. We used to reprocess anything that was out of spec.
Did you used to work at the refinery?
No, I'm an engineer and farmer. You're born in Rangura, weren't you, or Fernside?
Rangura.
Yeah, well, I served my time at Skillings in Rangura.
Oh, I know Skillings. Yes, we've had that conversation before. Yeah, I remember Skillings. My father worked for Transport North Canterbury, so you'd know that well.
Yeah, and what's his name? It was a mechanic there. His boys were into cycling.
I know him too. I know him. Blonde-headed
Rodney,
guy.
Rodney, Hogarth.
Kevin Keith.
Keith Hogarth, I think it was.
We just called him Hoagie.
Yeah.
Oh, what great days, eh?
Yeah, those were good days back in the 60s and 70s of this country.
And how did you become so well versed in the refinery?
I was at Pike River back in 2016 when we were trying to get the men out of the mine there, and I saw articles in the paper about Marsden Point shutting back. That was in 2016. I'm thinking, how ridiculous is this? I'm an engineer. Why would you shut down something so important to this country? You know, one of our most important pieces of infrastructure. And then I was in Wellington for the protest back in, whenever it was, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they were talking about going up to Marsden because they were shutting it down. I thought, wow, I've got to be at that. So I joined Brad with that. And then I followed on with Operation Good Oil, and I've been pushing my campaign ever since. Because I just felt that it was something we had to do. We just couldn't just let it happen. And I confronted Luxon at Waipu when I was with Brad and them. He just had a public meeting there, and he says, oh, I'm here to save the farmers. And I stood up and I said, and this has been recorded, you'll find it out there somewhere. I said, if you want to save our farmers, 12K up the road is Marsden Point Oil Refinery. You've got to save that if you want to save our farming. He said, oh, I'll make it an election issue. Well, he has never made that an election issue. Again, I confronted him at Waimumu Field Days March this year, and I tried to have a conversation with him, but the police wouldn't let me anywhere near him. I stood there with my yellow T-shirt on about Marsden Point, holding one of my promotional billboards about the refinery, and he wouldn't talk to me. They said, oh, no, he's not talking to the public. He was walking around talking to people, but he didn't want to talk to me, a shareholder, the most vocal shareholder in the refinery, because they don't want to engage with us. Winston and Shane don't want to engage with us. They've got emails, they've Facebook, text, tweets. I've seen everything out to them. They don't want to communicate because they've all got a plan. And the latest plan I've discovered is if you go and have a look at the fast tracking that they're doing, Northport's got this lovely fast track, which I'm all in favour of, if they can bring Auckland ports up to Whangarei and run them out of Northport, great. Be good for the railway line, it'd be good for the business, it'd be good for employment. But here's the kicker. They are taking over a big part of the refinery's site, namely on the Ralph Trimmer drive. On that corner is the big car park, the office block, the workshop, the cafeteria, and behind that, the visitor centre, appears in this latest plan. The car park's gone and there's a huge big building there, which is part of the port development, and Trimmer Road looks like it's a railway line for the containers to come in and out of. I asked the question, how long had they known that that was a plan, and is that the reason they actually closed the refinery down, so then they could hand that land over? Because this latest document that's out on the NZX announcements to shareholders about what's going on, they don't send us these emails. You've got to go looking for them. Talks about the precinct developments. Precinct. Where's precinct come from? It's not a New Zealand bloody word. The site development for that place is not an oil refinery. They're talking about making biofuels and sustainable aviation fuel. Do you want to fly around in a jet plane that's not flying on kerosene?
Nope.
Jet A1?
Nope.
The best Jet A1 fuel was made at Marsden Point 3 years ago when New Zealand Refining Company was the operator. Our jet fuel was so great, all the airlines used to fly towards Australia with passengers on for Australia to land 10 people or thereabouts at Auckland Airport to fill up with our jet fuel to fly back to the other side of the world. Those passengers haven't unloaded in Australia. They're still on that plane that goes from New Zealand to Australia, another 2,000K or so back to Australia, to unload those passengers because they want the best jet fuel to fly to the other side of the world again. We've lost that. The American Defence Force used to leave this country with their Galaxies, with bladders inside with our Jet A1 fuel, to take with them out of New Zealand because they knew how good it was. That's just one product. Then we've lost the CO2. We're now importing that. It was a byproduct that came out of the chimney. Bok put in a $50 million plant about 5 or 6 years ago to extract that out. That's all imported now, poor quality. The petrol and diesel has to be filtered all the time now. I was talking to a guy that works at Auckland Airport. He's been there for 20-odd years loading the planes of fuel. He said he can't believe how contaminated it still is, even though they're filtering it every day.
It's an unbelievable story. I'm just on your webpage reading it, Carly, while you're speaking. What a great webpage. Yep. It's got all the information. Operation Good Oil, all one word, .co.nz. It was only in April 22 they made the decision to close it down.
Exactly. And when I confronted Luxon the month they shut it down, this is the funny part about it. The day they shut it down was April Fool's Day.
Oh, God.
That's when they stopped. No more crude oil was being imported. They then ran from April through to the end of April, running off the last of the crude oil. One crude oil tanker, which is only 35 of those a year, came into New Zealand. That would give us 11 days production. So they knew how much production they had left in the refinery. They had fresh fuel coming in that they could pump through the pipeline to Auckland to keep things going. So that last month, April through to 1st of May, they did their wash-up. So all the refinery staff are there. All the technicians are still there. They do this clean-up process. And then the following month, May, they carry on finishing up, cleaning the whole place right down to a point where it could be mothballed, or they could have gone into a maintenance mode like they used to do back in the days when it was operating. Every 4 to 5 years, they'd do a major upgrade, and that's what they'd do. They'd stock up with fuel all around New Zealand, and then they'd shut the place down, and they'd have 2 or 3 months that they could do their maintenance. And if things didn't start up when they could, they'd have to be an import finished product, but they'd be pretty strict on the quality of it. And they could store it at Marsden Point and let it settle out. That's one thing that's not happening. It's not settling out. So April, we get through to May. May the 30th is this very special day for this refinery, because that year, Brad and all of us went and met the guys that morning at 7 o'clock, 7:30, when the last shift was finishing. And that was the end. The guy says, we've just turned the boilers off. We've turned the refinery off. It's not starting again. It's not going tomorrow. So the 30th of May 2022 was the day it finished totally, and the guys were laid off from that day on. That day, 58 years ago, we celebrated was the 58th anniversary of that refinery starting by Sir Keith Holyoake's national government in 1962. 64 it opened, so it only took them 2 years to build it. So this year we celebrated again, 2 years on, the 60th anniversary of that refinery. Winston and them didn't bother showing up. Shane Jones lives up north. He didn't bother showing up. None of them are interested, mate. They've got a plan, and it's part of the WF. They want to decarbonise the world. They want to get rid of fossil fuels. And one thing that oil is not a fossil fuel. It does not come from dead dinosaurs. It's a naturally occurring hydrocarbon that comes out of the earth, the same as water comes out of our earth.
I think that's a great point, and I won't argue it with you, because I don't know enough, and I love it, because it's never made sense to me that it's this dead matter. Never made sense to me. Hey, Carl, your aim is to get to 65%, right?
Well, whatever. You know, yeah. If that 60% stays for a while, I've got a new campaign. You probably would have seen it. It's out in the RV Lifestyle magazine. It's a half-page story of what we're looking at trying to do, and that's started on Monday. It's out there on the newsstands now. If anybody wants to buy that magazine and have a read, you can go online and read the story. I think we're about page 60.
Yeah.
Join us on that. I've got a big digital billboard at Lincoln Road in Auckland, West Auckland. I've got another one in Whangarei. I want to put more of them up around New Zealand, but they're costing us about $1,600 a month to have them there. And it's this ad in the RB is costing us about $1,000 for this edition. I'm not sure we're going to. It's for November and December. We're supposed to be running it for about 6 months. Every 2 months it comes out. So I'm not sure if the $1,000 was the all up for the that period or per edition, so I'll have to talk to them about that.
And you can go to your webpage, operationgoodoil.co.nz, get the facts, and also you can click on and buy 100 shares.
Yep, you can do it. You can do buy some shares through Sharesies, or if you actually really want to be serious shareholder and buy a bit more than 100 shares, I suggest you, I had shares in Sharesies, and I sold some of them off, and I went looking for a share broker that could do it. And all the share brokers want a lot of money. So I came across ASB Securities, which is another online thing, so it's the ASB Bank. And I bought 1,000-odd shares through that. So what that's now given me is I'm a registered shareholder. Through Shares is we're not a registered shareholder. They hold the path for Shares.
We
get to vote online. That's all we get. So somebody said, you need to be a registered shareholder. So I looked into it. So I'm now a registered shareholder. So I can turn up at the meeting, I can vote, and I can ask questions. I can do it online, or if it's somebody that can't be at the meeting and wants to do it another way, is a proxy vote. So if you want to put your proxy vote, when we have the next ASM, which will be in April, I hope to have it before that, you put your proxy vote under my name, and I'll be voting in favour of getting it going in favour of getting having it happening.
Right.
So that proxy vote apparently is a very strong tool, because that gives a group of people that are actually all on the same idea, on the same page, and I'm representing them with 20, 25, 30% of the vote is in these proxy votes, which wouldn't take a lot of people if they've got $1 million worth of shares. It's a million votes. So.
There you go. Hey, Carl, I've got to let you go. Keep up the good work. Go to the webpage, goodoil.co.nz. I'm learning something every day. Thank you for your call.
Thank you, Rodney. All the best.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.